Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. Today, the topic is one of my favorite, something very close to me, something very dear to my heart. The topic, sweetest friends, is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Just saying the word gets me excited. Yerushalayim. I remember once I read that to Rav Yitzchok Kuttner, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, the great Gaon. We've been zochah to learn some of his Torahs together, I hope. Said he has a taiva meshuna. He has this odd yearning, this odd desire, inexplicable desire. He says to hear Rav Aaron Cutler say the word Taylor. Rav Aaron Cutler said the word Torah with such relish, with such gusto, with such zest. So Rav Huttner said that's my meshuna dikataiva. To hear Rav Aaron Cutler say Taylor. So I get excited when I say I love saying Torah too. Don't get me wrong. But tonight the topic is Yerushalayim. So I'm going to talk about Yerushalayim. And every time I say the word Yerushalayim, I'm going to get excited. We're going to dedicate this Yom Yerushalayim shiur, given on Yom Yerushalayim, in Yom Yerushalayim, to a people who are also in Yerushalayim, live. Meaning, everybody who's with me in this room right now. 5,000 invisible Indians. And I can prove to you they're here, because you can't see them. In any event, we're going to be talking about Yerushalayim, and the shiur is going to be the Refuas Toibi Hudas Bas Temagasya, who's in great need of Refuas Shleima, and also Moshe Yudah Koin Ben Sheva Rachel, and Zev Eliezer Ben Chaya Shengel, and Lilu Nishmas Aaron Ben Yaakov Shachna, and Esther Bas Shmuel. So it should be the Refuas HaCholim B'Soch Shachol Yisrael, and the Ilui Nishmas, the aforementioned names, and may I not forget, Naftali Hertz, Ben Alter Avram. Ilui Nishmas. So, sweetest friends, it says in the Pasuk in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 10, Simchu is Yerushalayim v'giluva, kolo avea sisu ita misos, kolo misabli maleho, leman tinku sivatem mishod tanchumeho, leman tamotsu v'hisanaktem miziv kvoda. And we'll skip a pasuk, and it says in pasuk Yigimel, Ki ish asher imo tenachamenu, kein anochi anachemchem, uvi Yerushalayim tenuchamu. Such beautiful psukim. Be glad with Yerushalayim and rejoice in her, all you who love her. Exult in her exaltation, all of you who mourn for her, so that you may nurse and be satisfied from the breast of her consolations, so that you may draw from and delight in the glow of her approaching glory. Like a man whose mother consoled him, so I will console you, and through Jerusalem you will be consoled. Sweetest friends, we have to understand why we are getting consolation, dafka mishod tanchumeha, from the breast of her consolations. What does that have to do with anything? Why dafka are we mekabel tanchumim from a shod haminachemes? How is that going to be a consolation? So we are going to learn a little bit of Torah to explain these enigmatic psukim from the great Sefer Ze'ev Yitrov by Rav Zev HaKohen Huberman, who is a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, who lives in Lakewood on Monmouth Avenue, to be exact, on 1120 Monmouth Avenue. Just I'm reading the inside of the book. It says his address, so you can write him a letter and tell him how much you love his Torah, because his Torah is mamish gishmak. I actually once wrote him a letter telling him how much I love his Torah. So, and this is, he has a whole set of books on all of the Moadim he has, and he has on the Parshios, and he has books of Lamdus, and this book is from Tisha, this, what we're going to be learning is from Tisha B'Av, Perek Chav Dalet. So, let us begin. We read the Pesukim in Yeshayahu, and we know that there's a concept of a father consoling, a father having mercy, kirachim av al banim. A father isn't known as the consoler usually, the father is known as the merciful one. Kirachim, not kinachim, kirachim of Albanim. Interesting, Rachaim and Nachaim are the same. They're both, there's a chesmem, I guess, which is chum, which is warmth. Because when you console and when you have mercy, both of them, I guess, require warmth. That might explain the etymology of that word. I remember my 9th grade English teacher, Miss Mayevsky of blessed memory, and I think also my 10th grade English teacher. Now, the fact that I don't know English well is not her fault. I wasn't really paying all that much attention in class. And so I only have the greatest things to say about Miss Mayevsky in MTA circa 1985. But so she used to have us make a column for etymology. So I always like to avoid that. In any event, the point that I'm trying to make, sweetest friends, not to talk about Ms. Mayevsky, to talk about what a father does. A father is a rachem, a consoler. A mother is a nachem. A father is a rachem, a merciful one, to rachem of albanim, says the pasuk. And the mother is the merciful one, nachem, ki ish asher tenachamenu imo, a man whose mother consoles him. There's a medrash about this in Yalkut Shmoni, in Yeshayahu, in Nun Aleph. So we know that. However, why the nichumim of the mother coming from the breast? Nishod tanchumeha. What's this all about? So it says in the Navi, in Malachim Beis, Perek Dalet. This is actually a very special perek, as it is the Haftarah that I read at my bar mitzvah. It says that there was this man named Elisha, and Elisha went to this Shunammite woman, and she prepared for him a loft, and he was grateful, and he prophesied for her that she will bear a son. Vayomer lamoed hazeh ke'ischayo at chovekes bein. That's in Pasuk Tes Zayin. Elisha said, at this time next year, you will be embracing a son. So here he talks about embracing a chibuk. Why at chovekes bein? So during the 9 months that a woman is pregnant, so uber yerech imo. So a fetus is part of the mother. He eats what she eats. He drinks what she drinks. She eats cornflakes. He eats cornflakes. She drinks mineral water, he drinks mineral water. When he is born, he is separated from her, and now he becomes his own person. And therefore, what does a mother do to her child? She embraces him. She returns him to her bosom to console him in his loneliness. She will not leave him. Oh, we all have that primal need to connect to our mothers. And our mother has a primal need to connect to her children. That is why the shidduch is such a good shidduch. The mother loves the son, and the son loves the mother. What gets a little bit tricky is later on in life when they have to cut the imaginary umbilical cord, which has connected them for so many years, and he goes off with another woman, yes, his wife, and the mother has to realize that the party is over, and now the number one woman in his life is going to be his wife, and no longer his mother. It's not easy for the mother to do, and some mothers just don't do it. They never can disconnect from their children. They have to be they have to be closer to the child than the wife. And if you ask Alan Charles Herman, who's my alter ego, it's also my name, he thinks that's extremely unhealthy, as the Torah says. And the only passage where the Torah gives us direct marital advice, it says, "Al ken yazov ish es aviv ves imo v'davak v'ishto v'hayu l'basar echad." He goes away from his parents and from his mother and father and to his wife. So that's just a little bit of a marriage tip. For all married people, you should know that your wife comes first, not your mother. More than one marriage has been broken up by a mother. And for all mothers-in-law, I know nobody is good enough for your son. But this is what you have to make do with. Your son needs a counterpart, a partner for life, a wife. And your job is only to be there when he needs you and to give him support and love and whatever you can do for him. But ultimately now he has to branch out on his own and develop a separate life and a separate relationship and a separate family, while at the same time visiting and calling frequently. So anyway, that is marriage. So a woman, after she gives birth, the child is connected to the mommy is connected to the child, so the mommy takes the child back to her and hugs the child. Ad choveches bein. Not only that, But when the mother was pregnant, what would the child eat? The child would eat what the mother would eat. And now the child is brought back to the mother's breast. Mishod tanchumeha. She's brought back to the breast of the mother. And once again, what the mother eats, the child eats from the mother. What the mother eats, which is turned into her milk. And now the child also gets to eat. And that's what she does for the child's, for the baby's babyhood. That she takes the baby and she consoles the baby. You are not alone. I am with you. I am here for you. As Rabbi Haberman says in his beautiful language, Tamid mit orimba rikshe reishita mahut lechabek haben el cheka ulahanikao mishod tanchumeha ki lo tenichenu gamud azuv venatush. The woman has these primal feelings of love and compassion for the child, and she must console him, bring the child back to her breast, and show him that she will not leave him alone. Why does he need nechama? Because he feels alone. He has been abandoned. And now, what does he need more than anything else? He needs to go back to his source, back to his mother. And that's really the most beautiful thing of a hug, is a hug really gives you a feeling of togetherness. And that is why when somebody is in mourning, so a lot of times people will come up to the mourner and give the mourner a hug, because the mourner feels so separate, he feels so alone, his loved one has departed, and then by receiving a hug, he is now able to reconnect, if not to the beloved departed person, but at least to somebody, and he doesn't feel as alone and as abandoned. I remember once I was in the room when somebody had tragically lost his son, and he was not the huggy sort of guy. I mean, everybody who attends Nativ Aryeh knows how we conclude every shir. So if you listen to them, you know about it, 2, 3, 4, Yidu Es Hashem B'Simcha. But if you are attendant, you can ask those who attend how we end off, what we do when we end off the shir, after we conclude. So this guy, I might be the huggy sort, but this guy certainly wasn't. But yet, when a friend came to console him, I didn't have the guts to hug him because I didn't think that he was that type and he wouldn't want one from me. But he was older than me. He is older than me. But one of his friends came, somebody more in his more of a colleague, of a contemporary, and he gave him a hug. And I really saw that he needed that hug, and that's why you give an Avel a hug, to show him that he is not alone. And harbei po elchi bo. Kasher chovek ha-menachem et ha-avel v'lokech oto el-cheko u-metachadim ha-levavot. Harbei po'el chibuk zeh la-hashkia b'didut b'tahom yedidut. Beautiful. So when the consoler of the avel takes him to his bosom, their hearts combine, and this hug makes the b'didut turn into yedidut, the loneliness into friendship. And that's what it means when it says in the pasuk, "Leman tinaku usvatem mishod tanchumeha." Yes, that when we come back to Yerushalayim, we will be satiated by the consoling breast of Yerushalayim. It is not enough for us just to be consoled, but rather we must be taken back to the source to connect in a way of chibuk, of hug, of eating what Yerushalayim eats, of drinking what Yerushalayim drinks, so to speak. And since this pasuk Usvata Mishol Tanchumeha is talking about the breast of consolation of Jerusalem, like it says before this, Simchu es Yerushalayim v'giluba kol o'avea sisu itam esos kol misablim aleha. So to rejoice with Jerusalem, as we translated earlier, all of the mourners. It's interesting, call them Isablim Aleha, right? Because in order to be Zoch L'Ros Simchas Yerushalayim, a person has to be Misabel Al Yerushalayim. So now that we've explained that, we also have to explain Ki'ish Asher Imo Tenachamenu Kein Anochi Menachemchem Uvi Yerushalayim Tenuchamu. So what is the consolation of Yerushalayim Tenuchamu? So now we understand the breast, why we need to go back. That's going back to the source. That's after the disconnect, we reconnect. Now we want to understand, what is this? Yerushalayim Tenuchamu, says the Maharal in the fifth perek of the Sefer HaNetzach, that because of Sinas Chinam, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Because what makes the Jewish people one is the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, and we have one Mizbeach, and nobody can build their own Bama anymore, nobody can build their own private altars. Rather, the Beis HaMikdash is what unites us, and then when we're not, don't have unity anymore, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It seems from the Maharal, the Sfas Emes, says it very clearly, black on white, that the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam is not, I emphasize, not because of the Chomer HaAveiro of Sinas Chinam, but rather, not because of the seriousness of the infraction, even though it is a serious infraction, but it's not as bad as other Averos. I mean, Sinas Chinam is only a lav. There are other Averos that are worse, that are Chayvei Kares, Chayvei Mises Beis Din, the worst. But why Sinas Chinam? And Sinas Chinam is equated to the big three, to Gila Rai Shvichus Damim. And about Zohar, how can that be? So explains this Sfas Emes, that that's the Metzius. The Metzius is that Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash represent unity, and when we don't have unity, the reality is that we can no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. And that's really what the Beis HaMikdash and Zion are about. Unity. And we know there's a Man D'Omer that says, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim wasn't split up amongst the tribes. Yerushalayim belongs to everybody, according to that opinion. And there's also a Man D'Omer in the Sifri in Parashas Re'eh, that the Makom HaMikdash was all not given out to the Shvatim. It's the Yerusha of all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara Megillah says otherwise. But that's the Sifri in Parashas Re'eh. And according to the other Tana, that the Makom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim were given to Shvatim. However, there's a famous briskara. I don't know how famous it is, but we'll make it more famous now in Hilchas Beis HaBechira. So he says that all the Jews have to come and buy it from those who it was given to originally. And this way we create the unity. So Lekulei Alma, Yerushalayim, represents the unity. So that's what the Brisker, the Brisker Rav in his Hilchos Beis HaBechira says, that all the Jewish people have to go and buy the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim from those who it was originally apportioned to. So Yerushalayim is Achdus. And that is, like the Maharal says, that through the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, we become one. We have only one Mizbeach. Nobody can build a Bama. Nobody can build their own private altar and his own private altar. And, because that would be correct grammar. So I want to make a Ms. Mavsky smile down at me in Shemayim, that I'm trying to use correct grammar. Trying. Often, with only limited success. Anyway, so I should really dedicate this year, since I've mentioned her so much, we'll also dedicate it in her memory. Because she tried very hard to teach me, like she would say, do I know how to spell loquacious? Because I don't know if I know how to spell it, but I know that I am. Would that be L-O-C-Q-I? Anyway, so Yerushalayim is shayach to Al Yidden. So now we can understand this notion, this idea, this concept of Yerushalayim tenuchamu, to be consoled with Yerushalayim. Since Yerushalayim symbolizes unity, you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the korban on the same mizbeach that everybody else is bringing it on. You are no longer alone. You are no longer abandoned. You are now together, you are connected to Al Yidden. Yerushalayim, says the Zev Yitrof, chobakto el cheko, ve'echad have in kol Yisrael. Yerushalayim takes you to her bosom and hugs you, and now you see that you are no longer alone. What is interesting, that the Rambam says in his Sefer Yad HaChazaka, in the second parak of Hilchos Brachos and Halacha Daled, kol mi shelo omar malchus beis David bebracha zu, lo yotze yedei chovaso, Mipnei shehi inyan habracha she'ein inachama gemura ela b'chazoras malchus beis David. And if somebody who didn't say malchus beis David in the bracha of Rachem wasn't yotzei, you have to mention the malchus, the kingship of the house of David, because that's what the bracha is all about. There is no true nechama unless the kingdom, the kingship, comes back to the house of David. And that's the true nechama, that we all come back to the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why do we lose the Mikdash in Yerushalayim? Because of Kamso Bar Kamso. And as the Maharal says in the fifth parak of Sefer HaNetzach, Kamso, the word Kamso means chaluk, separate. Because that's what Kamso was all about. Kmitza, the komatz misham, like the Kohen does to the flower offering. He removes, it's removing, it's separating. And the rabbis call the chaga, they call the locust the kamsa, and Unkelos says v'hina v'enenu kachagovim, like locusts, like kamsin. Why this kamsin? Because that's the arbe that symbolizes ribui gadol, lots and lots and lots and lots. That's the kamsa, separating many, many. And that's why it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, Melech ein la'arbe. There is no melech, melech. There is no king for arbe. Arbe is midashon harbe. There are many, 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 many of these locusts, many of these arbe. And there is no king because the king is supposed to unite. And when there is multiplicity, by definition, there is no unity. So that's the job of the king, to unite. Malchus Beis David unites everybody. It's called Kisei Hashem. Malchus Beis David unites everybody under the flag of Hashem. And that's why for true Nechama, we talk about the Nechama of Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim consoles us when we all come back. We are all united under the banner of Mashiach. And that's what we wait for, as it says in Yeshayahu, Perek Samach, Pasuk Tezayin, V'shod Melachim Tinoki, from the breast of kings you will nurse. In other words, the kingdom of Beis David. Then we will be satiated by the consolation of the breast of Jerusalem. And now we understand, sweetest friends, that that is what Yerushalayim is about. Yerushalayim is like our mother who we've been separated from for so long, but like a child never forgets her mother, we have never forgotten Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim, we want to be reconnected to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim connects us to the Rabbono Shel Olam. Yerushalayim connects us to everybody else. Ki ir shechubro lo yachdov. Ki ir shenase bakulam chaverim. We all become friends. Somebody wrote a book, and he said that there are three F's to make a person happy. And friendship, faith, and family. And the common denominator of all three is connection. By the way, food isn't in there, and finances aren't in there. Rather, it's all about connection, and that's what brings true simcha, and that's why we talk about Simchas Yerushalayim. That is going to be the simcha that we are going to experience very soon. We also see in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis, that the Binyan of Yerushalayim is called a Nechama, and that is the Nechama we all wait for. So now that we are in Yom Yerushalayim, just a word about Yom Yerushalayim. I once heard a beautiful mashal in a completely different context given by the great rabbi, the great Rosh Yeshiva, one of the greatest lamdanim of the Dor, Hagoyin HaGodol, Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi. Rabbi Ezrachi said something very interesting. He gave a mashal. He said, a man walks up to another man and he takes a knife and he slashes it inside this person's flesh. Now that sounds very gory, like, ooh. Now, how do you know what his intentions are? If his intentions are honorable or dishonorable? One word, sweetest friends. Sterilization. If he sterilized his knife, then you know that he's a surgeon. And if he didn't sterilize his knife, then you know that he's a murderer. Ken zayin azoy? So, sweetest friends, he gave that as a mashal for Yosef HaTzadik. It says that when Yosef HaTzadik went down to Egypt, they were like nice-smelling herbs, besamim, in the wagon that took him down to Egypt. So why was that important? So the Balaam must have said the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosef deserved this. It had to happen to him, but it didn't have to be any harder than it was supposed to be, because the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bediktuk gadol. It's with great precision. How's that for word, Ms. Mayevsky? Precision. But where does the sea go in that word, and where does the S go? I always get confused when I write the word presence. Like, he has a good presence, right? So where does the presence, like matanot, that I know, but the presence, I always forget where to put the S, where to put the C. It's a very, maybe I should have played college basketball in the SEC conference. I think there used to be an SEC conference. Anyway, back to our show, Sweetest Friends. So, diktuk gadol with great precision. So yes, Yosef had to go down to Egypt, but he didn't have to suffer a foul odor. So therefore, God made it smell nice. That's the Bali Musar. Rav Mizrahi says, we can see like in Nachavort. We can add another idea that God wants to show Yosef that he's with Yosef. So he gives him a sign. You're right, you're being sold with these Midianites, with these Ishmaelites, and you're going down to Egypt. Oy, 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 oy. But have no fear. I am with you, Joseph. And the sign was the sweet-smelling herbs. Just like the sterilization. Sterilization, it's a sign that his intentions are honorable. The sweet-smelling herbs are a sign that God is with you and that you have nothing to worry about. So I say the same thing about Yerushalayim. I once saw a tshuva in the writings of Rabbi Moshe Hagoyin HaGadol, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach. And Rabbi Sternbach said that one should not be dancing at the Kotel. The Kotel is a place to mourn because it's mamish meso mutal lefanav. The dead body is lying in front of us. It's mamish right in front of us. We see mizeit techurban mit unser fleischiger Augen. We see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash with our very own eyes. So how can we dance? So at the time this tshuva bothered me, I was a bachur in Yeshiva at Kotel, and every Friday night we would dance down to the Kotel. Yismechu v'malchutcha shomrei Shabbat, shomrei Shabbat v'korei Omeg. Yismechu v'malchutcha shomrei ayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayay shuffle. And then we would continue singing. So we were doing the kotel shuffle, and then we would dance. This is the shaila about dancing on Shabbos Bechlal. So we get around that. We have a Ramah, we have a this, we have a Toisus, we have a here, we have a there. We have a hin, we have a ha, we have a tshuva in the Yichavadas. We add a teirim for the dancing episode. Maybe. But Hasidim certainly dance. The time wasn't a chassid. But my heart it was. The point that I'm trying to make, sweetest friends, is all right to dance, but dancing on Shabbos Seder, but how about dancing in front of the Mukkah, the front of the Mukkah Machurban? Mesa Muta Lefanov? Aber Gavra Rabba Amar Musa? Lotachaihule. A great man said something we can't just laugh, we can't just blow him off like that. Moshe Sternbach is a Gavra Rabba. You ever read the 9 volumes of Maad Uzmanim, the 4 volumes of Shaios and Tshuvas, Tshuvas Van Hagas? You see a Baal Mechadish Gadol, a Baki Yatzum and Shas and Rishonim, just something out of this world with the Lamdas, with the Halacha, with really. Moshe Sternbach he was writing those Maad Uzmanim when he was a young man. Something he wrote when he was a bacher. You read Chelek Aleph. I'm saying a bacher is writing Torah like that. How if I should write Torah like that when I'm 80? I should be such a lamdan. But Sir Moshe Sternbach said it. So I see his point. I definitely see his point, and I respect that. However, the other side of the coin is, besides Meisam Mutalafanov, is that now that we have Yerushalayim back, now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed miracles in 1967, God is giving us a sign, yo guys, I'm still with you. I love you. Of course the Geula Shleima isn't here. Of course we still say Tikkun Chatzos, or many people say Tikkun Chatzos. And we mourn the Churban. But to know that God is still with us, and that God loves us, and that Ashchina la'olam lo zaza mikotel amaravi, that the Shechina never left 2,000 years. The Kotel HaMaravi, there's a promise in Chazal that it'll never be destroyed. And by golly, it stands strong. So you see Hashem is with you. You see Hashem didn't reject you as Chas V'Shalom. People claim. So that's a great cause for joy. So it's what they call in the classics, mixed feelings, a gemishichs. On one hand, we're very sad. We don't have the complete binyan yet. On the other hand, we're so elated. We're so excited. We're so joyful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a beautiful sign that He's still with us and He allows us now to live in Yerushalayim, not under the rule of the evil Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Coffee Empire, because Turkish coffee, the Turkish Coffee Empire, the English, who were very, very not nice to us, to say the least. And any Jew from anywhere in the world can come to Eretz Yisrael. This is something very, very special, something that we have to give a lot of thanks. Hallel v'hodol Hashem, without obviously getting into the question of whether we should say hallel v'hodol, we should certainly say modim three times on Yom Yerushalayim. About that there is no question, plus the modim derabbanan, that makes it four. Modim derabbanan, the Abu Draham says that we have to say on our own, because when you say thank you have to say it on your own, you can't leave it up to anybody else. Very beautiful. It's the modem that we say in Shemin Esrei. So we definitely have a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be excited about. And we should be zochem mirtz Hashem that b'karuv mamish, we should see the complete nechama, b'yushalayim tinuchamu, b'binyan habayis hashlishi, u'b'bias mashiach tzidkenu, v'simchas olam tiyel roshenu, kasher ayin ba'ayin nireh, b'shuv Hashem tzion, b'mheira v'yameinu, Amen v'amen. My sweetest and most beloved friends, I wish you the most freilich Yom Yerushalayim of your lives. And Amir Tzah Hashem, we should be zochah by this Shavuos already to be marching up to the Beis HaMikdash, Liros is Pnei Hashem Tzavakos, to be Olah L'Regel, all Jews from all corners of the earth gathering together in love and unity in Mother Jerusalem. Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.